Trump and I'm running to you. Welcome to another episode of Double Tap. We are on St. Patty's Day, March 17, 2015. Once again, I am your co-host, Dave, and with me as always is my Caucasian persuasion homeboy.
Tony, what's going on, y'all?
How's everybody been? I know we kind of missed the weekend, but we're super busy, y'all. We got superhero lives, basically.
Yeah, practically. I mean, I'm a hero behind closed doors.
That's and behind closed closet doors, too.
That's what she says.
Right. This is going to be a shorter than usual episode. We have just a couple of things to go over as far as gaming news. What's coming out next week? What's came out this week or today, technically, last night at midnight. But first, why don't we start off with another thrilling rendition of What's in Your Box?
Tony? You said butt first.
I did. Sometimes you gotta do butt first.
right. This total homoerotic episode here on St. Patty's Day, man.
You know what that's supposed to mean.
Right? What's that even mean?
Because my shit can hang in there again.
So we were talking last episode, like, pick of the week, and I had said something about Hotline Miami 2. So I actually dove into Hotline Miami 1. I was like, I need to check that one out. I don't know if that was a PlayStation Plus game for a while back, but it was free. I don't know if it's free now or what the case was. I didn't have to pay for it, so I got it free, so I was playing it. I beat it. The game is awesome. Hotline Miami. Yeah. If you have a chance, it's on PlayStation 4, and you can cross-play for PlayStation 3, Vita, all that good stuff, cross-save, cross-play, all that jazz. It's fun as shit, man. It's just addicting. You play, like we were talking before, it's bird's eye view. You have these different masks you wear that give you different power-ups. You have different enemy types. They have different weapons. It's one-shot kills for the most part, and then you can pick up their weapons, and then, you know, depending on if it's a melee weapon or a gun weapon, if you shoot it, the enemies will come to where you shot the weapon at, so you can hide behind another wall or another door, and then so you can knock them out with the door kind of thing.
So if you shoot it, they will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Nice. What else have you been into?
I played a little bit of Dragon's Crown, a game published by Atlus. Can't remember. I think that is an Atlus game, too. I think they developed it. But anyways, it's a side-scrolling RPG.
Oh.
A lot like Trine and Trine 2. Really good.
Ew.
I haven't beat that one yet. I got that when it first came out. That was one that had the sorceress with a really huge rack that people were complaining about her being really blessed.
I mean, aren't all the sorceresses really blessed?
I mean, but the animation is just so crazy because she'll just be standing still and they'll just be bouncing and bouncing.
Also, it was made by the same people who did the Dead or Alive games. Gotcha. That makes sense.
It's so funny. But no, it's a good game. So that, and then I'm still playing Sleeping Dogs on Xbox One. I'm progressing through that story slowly but surely. You know, when you work 7 days a week, it's kind of hard to find time to play games.
No, I definitely get you on that one, man. It took me a while to get through a couple of different things that I've been working on. So, yeah, I feel you.
Hell yeah. But what you been playing?
Well, aside from, you know, the normal Destiny right now, I actually got to play and complete Valiant Hearts. And that would probably be my pick of the week. It's not something that I typically have played over the last true years, but it's definitely a kind of type of game that I have enjoyed in the past. It's 2D side-scrolling kind of gameplay, but it's more or less like a puzzle game. There's not a whole lot of, like, the action is in the set pieces, so where you're, like, running away from being shot or blown up or whatever, it's not action that you control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, there's one set piece where you're running away from a German plane trying to shoot you down, and you have to, like, stop and go before you can move on to the next area. So you're not really shooting back. You're not really doing a whole lot of things like that. There are a couple of instances where you're in a tank and you have to shoot at enemy planes or whatever, but it's for just a few seconds at a time. But it takes place during the First World War, and you are essentially in control of five different characters. There's Emil, and he is the father of the main trio. The main trio of the story is Emil, his son-in-law, and his daughter. And his son-in-law has been recruited by the Germans to fight for them, while Emil gets recruited by the French to fight for them. So both of this poor woman's only living relatives, other than the new baby that she just had, are fighting in a war on opposite sides. So it's pretty crazy. Then you meet a couple other characters along the way. And I should have corrected myself earlier, but you don't actually play as the daughter or the wife, daughter/wife character. But she's, I consider her one of the main characters because she's the driving force between Emil and, you know, her husband to come back home. So I don't know. It kind of tugs at your heartstrings a little bit because it has a lot of factual content from the war itself as collectible items. And you kind of hope that these characters turn out okay. And you meet a couple other characters along the way and you meet their backstory. So it's kind of cool. It's like episodic, but all the episodes are in one game.
Right.
It was free last week or the week before on the PSN. And that's when I picked it up. And I really enjoyed it. I hope they do another one. They kind of made it seem like there could be another one. And with the war not even ending in that first game, there could be various others. And they could even go on to World War II and so on and so forth. So I feel like crap because I don't remember who developed and made the game. But it was very good. And I definitely would recommend it to anybody that wants to try it out.
Yeah, so that game, I know it got a lot of awards and whatnot when it came out. A lot of podcasts I was listening to, they were giving it a lot of hype, saying it was a really good game, had good gameplay and stuff like that. I remember that dog being something people were talking about because you play as that dog. And
the dog doesn't even have a name. I just kept calling him Dog the whole time. Because like you can like pet him and, you know, let him know he was a good boy and all that stuff. And there's actually a trophy for petting the dog.
Oh, nice. So,
I just called him Dog.
What up, Dog?
But he is actually an essential part of the gameplay because there's times where you order him to go into different like foregrounds and backgrounds in order to receive or retrieve different items necessary to solve the current puzzle you're working on. So it's really interactive with the different layers of foreground and background. Because like I said, it is like a 2D side-scrolling, but holding or pushing up or down on the right areas will move you into the foreground or the background respectively. And there's essentially several layers to that 2D world.
So oh, gotcha.
It's just really neat. The way they did it was really good.
That's a lot like Dragon's Crown. It's the 2D, but you can go in between the back and foreground.
Gotcha.
Like 2.5D.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I forgot this. It's Ubisoft. Ubisoft was the ones that did it. So, and that was the publisher. The developer was Ubisoft Montpelier. So it's really well done. And I actually got some. I don't know if you're familiar with any other previous Ubisoft titles within the last 10 years or so. But they
Child
have this,
of Light.
Okay. There you go. What? Did you sign into the Ubisoft server then and get your Uplay points?
No, it's been so long since I've played a Ubisoft game, actually.
So one of the cool things, and I feel like other developers should do this, one of the cool things that Ubisoft has done, I think ever since the first Assassin's Creed, maybe before or a little bit after that, was they have an account that you sign into for free. And with every Ubisoft game you play, you earn what's called Uplay points.
Yeah.
And you can use these accumulated, and they never go away.
That's right. Watch Dogs was the last one I played that I remember signing in with. Okay, yep.
And all your Uplay points roll over to unlock extra content within the game, like right then and there. You don't have to – it's basically their own points to use for microtransactions for things that you otherwise couldn't get in-game. So, like, for Watch Dogs, I used my Uplay points to get, like, a gun and a car that was otherwise inaccessible normally through the game. And then I didn't get anything for Valiant Hearts just because it's one of those games that I, like, the unlockable was, like, extra artwork or the soundtrack, which was a great soundtrack. They did a really good job. It was a lot of instrumental about like almost 99% instrumental.
Nice.
But I would rather save my points for something, for like another action based game or whatever, where I can get like another weapon or gear or skin or whatever. So, and I know like in the Assassin's games, you could use your Uplay points to get different outfits for Ezio or whatever assassins you're playing. So, yeah, I feel like a lot of other developers should implement that kind of reward system where that you can get different things for continuing to be a consumer of that particular brand. You know what I mean? Because that's a great way to bring people back. Like, hey, we recognize you've been playing our stuff. Here's a little bit of incentive, and here's a little bit of pat on the back for doing that, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, that's just me. I feel like that was a really good reward system, and I feel like the game overall was amazing, and that would have been my pick of the week. Other than that, though, I did play through a little bit more of the Odd World New and Tasty, and I forgot how frustrating some of the levels in that game can be, only because of those asshat aliens that laugh at you and cuss at you and die in front of them, and those weird ass choking noises they make. I just want to blow them all up, like just straight to hell. The shit out of me. But yeah, other than that, there was another game that I had bought, Surgeon Simulator. Can't believe I forgot that. But yeah, I finally completed the first two sections of Surgeon Simulator, not the first two surgeries, because there's five surgeries in total, but there's different sections, different areas that you perform the surgery in. So like the first section is on an OR room on a table with everything stationary, nothing's moving around. Then the second section is down the hallway. Like you're actually running down a hallway trying to perform these surgeries on Bob, the patient. Like your crash carts to your left and right are moving, so you gotta move quickly to grab the tools or whatever that you need. And then I finally got to the third section, which is in the back of an ambulance, which is a huge pain in the ass because the driver sucks, number one.
Very number nice. Two, he's the crazy taxi driver.
I feel like I'm doing surgery with my right hand and driving with my left hand, because the way this driver is driving and the sounds that are going on in the background kind of resemble what my daily commute would be like. So when you're in the back of the ambulance, whenever the driver turns, your in-game hand is being forced by the gravity of the turn to, you know, either go left or right, and you have to fight against it in order to correct yourself. Or your tools and the things you need to complete the surgery are flying all over the back of the ambulance and shit. And there's like a fire extinguisher that becomes detached from the wall of the ambulance and flings on your patient and hits him in the face, and he starts losing more blood. It's just crazy. It's insane. And I kind of want to get through the rest of it just to see how far it goes. But yeah, that's all I got. That's all I've been playing, man. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So let's get down to what we got coming out, or what came out today. What came out today on St. Patrick's Day?
Let's see. Bladestorm Nightmare on the Xbox One. It's a remake from a 2007 game. I've never heard of it, so I couldn't tell you what it is. You ever heard of it, Dave?
Nah, it's news to me, bro.
Alright, DMC Devil May Cry Definitive Edition.
Mm-hmm.
That was your pick of the week last week, was it?
Yes, it was.
Alright. Cabala's African Adventures. Is that how you say it? Or is it Cabela's?
I think it's Cabela, but it's just another game where you can live out your fantasy to illegally hunt all the things you're not supposed to hunt.
You're the opposite of Steve Irwin. You actually really do piss them off.
And instead of shoving your thumb up their butt, you shove your double barrel shotgun.
Right. And then Tales from the Borderlands Episode 2, Atlas Mugged. These are all games that came out today. So.
Right.
And then Saldner X2 Final Prototype for the PlayStation Vita.
I believe that is a 2D, it's not really 2D, but it's a space shooter game, kind of like R-Type or whatever else. I want to say it's kind of like Resogun, but it's not like Resogun in the fact that Resogun is like on a singular
cylinder or whatever. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Yep. And this game, the level actually progresses and there's different terrain and everything else. So
Battlefield Hardline.
I had a little bit of time in that. I had like about a half an hour's worth of playtime in that through the share play function on the PS4. And it actually was entertaining. I'm not a Battlefield fan at all. My ADD and my short attention span will not allow me to play a game like Battlefield because I don't have the patience to do it. But Hardline actually seemed like a lot of fun. It's essentially video game cops and robbers. And you jump in, you know, the shoes of the cops, or you're the robbers trying to steal cars and shit. And I thought it was actually pretty solid. So, you know, I would never buy it because I'm not a Battlefield fan. But if someone bought it for me, I'd play the hell out of it.
Right. Maybe if it comes free on PlayStation or Xbox or something like that, I might play it. But yeah, like, I'm not a Battlefield fan. I bought Battlefield 3, the whatever they call it, the Game of the Year edition that came with all the DLC, and I played it maybe an hour. I was like, man, I just wasted $60. So I don't think I'm ever going to buy another Battlefield game.
See, I got it for free because it came out for free on the PlayStation Network at one point.
Yeah, and so then, I downloaded it there too. But
and then my homie, BlackCat111, Brendan, we were doing the share content thing that you could do on the PS3. And he gave me all the DLC for Battlefield 3. So I had the entire Battlefield 3 experience for free. And I played it for all of like a week and then I deleted everything.
Right. And then Echo Knight on the PlayStation Vita. Nothing new there.
No, don't. Yeah, I got nothing.
Resident Evil Revelations 2 Episode 4 on all the systems that's on. Tennis in the Face for the Vita. I didn't say titties in your face. I said tennis in the face.
Tennis in your face.
Although if it was titties in the face, it might sell more copies.
probably more so in Japan than anything, because they got some dirty, dirty games over
right?
there.
Right, hence Dragon's Crown with a well-endowed sorceress.
Right.
And let's see. Oh, the Forza Horizon 2, they had that Fast and Furious content that's free right now because they're trying to time that with a movie that just came
out. Oh, so in the game, did they also kill Brian O'Connor, or is that too soon?
They actually have a Ludacris in the Forza Horizon game that gives you the missions and whatnot. So it's kind of neat. I mean, it's a free DLC thing, so it's kind of cool.
Nice.
Let's see, Jamestown came out today for PlayStation 4.
What is that?
That's going to be a shooter, kind of like R-Type and all those kind of things. So. That Pixel Junk had a shooter game that sort of like that in that kind of that genre of gaming. It looks neat, so I want to try it out, but I don't know if I want. Like, I get with the PlayStation Plus games and stuff like that, with those style games, I kind of feel like I don't want to spend money on it having it going to be a free game soon, you know? Like, I can see that totally being a PlayStation Plus game. I don't want to spend my money now and then, you know, 2 months later have that be a PlayStation Plus game, because that's a game I can totally wait to play. Like, where if I spend, you know, $60 on Bloodborne or something like that, I don't mind, because that's a game I want to play as soon as it comes out.
Yes.
So, Final Fantasy Type-0 HD that came out on PS4, Xbox One. And if I didn't mention it, but the Battlefield, of course, was Xbox One, PS4.
Oh, yeah. Now, that Type-0, I admittedly have not looked into that, and I haven't been a Final Fantasy player in a long, long time, but I used to love the crap out of some Final Fantasy. However, I got turned on to the fact that there is a demo for another Final Fantasy 15 episode. I don't even know if it's like a separate game in the series or if it's an episode of this game, but what the hell is going on? But it, good God, it looks awesome. Like, I don't even know what the story is. Like I said, I haven't played Final Fantasy in forever, but I watched a video of the main character using a summons, and Jesus Christ, it just looked so badass. Like, I can't even say enough good things about it, but it's Final Fantasy 15, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard on the Xbox podcast I listened to, they were talking about it, and they're saying it's like a 3-hour demo, kind of, that came with that Type-0, and they were playing it, and then you're like, they were driving a car or something, and it runs out of gas, and you're trying to find gas or something for this car, so they're just running around and shit. So it sounds like a cool concept, kind of. So that's all I really heard about the game. I haven't seen any footage of it yet, aside from what I've seen people posting on Facebook from YouTube and whatnot. But
yeah, you guys got to check that shit out, man. Let's see, it's called Final Fantasy 15 Episode Dusuke. I don't know why it wouldn't just be Final Fantasy 15 or what the Episode Dusuke is or whatever.
And I wonder if that's kind of like a Ground Zeroes thing, you know, where it's just...
I don't even know what a Dusuke is, but I feel dirty for saying it.
It's French for douchebag.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, that's pretty weird considering Square Enix is Japanese.
Right.
Just saying. But it is published and developed by Square Enix. And I don't even have a release date for it. The demo came out today if you bought Final Fantasy Zero. But other than that, hell, I don't even see anything for release date. So if you guys know, please let me know. Yeah, that's all I got on that, other than go check out that footage if you can.
And that's all the games that came out for today. The games that are coming out soon, tomorrow, you're getting the Borderlands Episode 2 for Xbox One. It's out today for PS4. It comes out tomorrow for Xbox One. Then on the 19th, you get Elliot Quest for the Wii U, which is an adventure RPG. And then on the 20th, you're getting Fossil Fighters on the 3DS. You're getting Mario Party 10 on the Wii U. And then on the 24th, which is next Tuesday, you get Slender, The Arrival on PS4. You
can't wait for that.
Damascus Gear Operation Tokyo on the Vita, which I have no clue what that game is. And then Life is Strange Episode 2, Borderlands the Pre-Sequel Claptastic Voyage DLC, and Borderlands the Handsome Jack, or the Handsome Collection. Handsome Jack Collection.
Handsome Jack Collection. Yeah. Such a douche.
It'd be a more handsome collection if it came with the first Borderlands, though.
Right.
I like the first Borderlands. A lot of people just kind of write it off, you know. Like, I mean, Borderlands 2 was a lot better, you know. It took the first game what it did and did it even more, you know. But the first game was amazing. I remember playing the first game with my brother and a couple friends, you know. It was like a first-person shooter that you could play with your friends and you do quests and shit. It was a lot of fun. That's the first game I remember doing a shooter quest with friends, you know.
And I feel like Gearbox did a great job kind of giving you a recap a little bit on the individual main quartet of the first Borderlands. Because every time you ran into one of the main characters from the first one, they kind of gave you that sense that they were very important before, you know? Because Borderlands 2 was the first Borderlands I ever played because it was free on the network at the time. And I think at one point the first Borderlands was too, but I just let the opportunity pass me by because people were like, yeah, it's such a lengthy game and it's really long and it's really cool and da-da-da-da-da. But at the time, I was a diehard COD player. And I obviously didn't see myself having time for anything else but that, especially for a game that was so rich with content like Borderlands.
Say Borderlands, so, I played it originally on 360, and I played it. I put so many hours in it. And then when they released the first one free on PlayStation Plus, I actually platinumed it on PS3 too. So I got tons of hours on the first Borderlands. I mean, it was such a good game that I wanted to play it again on PlayStation 2 that I platinumed it. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And it is a long game. I mean, but it is well worth it. I mean, hell, if you still have a PlayStation 3 or a 360 and you never played it, go pick it up. It kind of sucks that it's not going to be on this remaster because it's worth playing.
What all is in that remaster anyway?
It's all the DLCs for Borderlands 2, the game, and then pre-sequel, and then all the DLCs. Even that new Claptastic Voyage will be in the Handsome Collection.
Damn, that's still a lot of stuff. Like, even the DLC alone for...
Like, all the Borderlands 2 DLC, man, they came out with a shit ton.
Yeah. So. Like, that's hours and hours of gameplay just for the DLC alone. Never mind the main game, which took me, like, a month to get through. Just because it was so, like you said, it was addicting. And every time something new unfolded, you were just like, I don't ever want to quit playing this. I mean, when you get a sniper rifle that talks shit to you, right. and it's your sniper rifle, that's amazing. It's one of the best parts about it. When you get a sniper rifle and you run out of the clip, it's like, well, at least you're not killing anyone now, you know. Or I love one of my favorite lines, and I don't ever remember the name of the sniper rifle itself. All I remember was blue, and it was robotic looking. But I would headshot an enemy, and it was like, great, now someone's an orphan. They don't even know it. I was like, that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, that is definitely going to be welcomed.
And then we'll save the best game for last. And the last game we're going to mention, Bloodborne.
Yes. Now, I mean, you can't, you know, that's comparing apples to oranges because, first of all, I don't even know what it's going to be like. All I know is it is probably going to be amazing compared to Borderlands. I don't know if you can, you know, put that on the same level yet. However, I am so, so, so excited for this one. I mean, there was a reviewer that played 40 plus hours and said he doesn't even feel like he was anywhere near the end. Just the 40 hours alone is enough for me. You know what I mean? Because like when I bought when I got the order, 1886, I was expecting it to be a lot longer than it was. And it's like I said, maybe a 4-hour game at the most, you know?
Yeah, I'm still a little let down by the Order 1886 because I haven't even played it because of the reviews and whatnot. And that was one of the reasons why I got a PlayStation 4 was for that game, was for the Order 1886. So,
yeah. And like I said, there was plenty of good things about it, but not enough for me to give it a buy ranking.
Right. You know,
we try to tend to rate games on a buy rent or
pass.
What was the third pass? Yeah. And I would definitely put it as a rent. You know, don't pass it up because it is a decent game for that company's first, you know, console outing. But it was just disappointing. That's all I can say about it. It was just disappointing, and I cannot wait for Bloodborne. I saw a lot more of the trailer that I'd been meaning to watch, and I've been neglecting to watch it. But good God, I can't wait for it, man. It's gonna be so good.
So recently with news, something that passed while we weren't recording was that Titanfall's going to be multi-platform, which is good news because before it was Xbox PC exclusive. So for all the PlayStation fans out there, you'll be able to play Titanfall, which for me, I've played it. It's a good game, really good controls. It's made by the people that did, you know, Modern Warfare, all the good Call of Duties. So, like, I can't think of the guy's name, Vince something. Do you know
McMahon?
No, Zamperillo or Vince something. Vince the man. But anyways.
I don't know.
Titanfall is good shit. Coming to both platforms. Play it. Be happy. Download the DLC if you have the first one on PC or Xbox. It's free right now. Not sure how long it's going to be free, but it is, so go get it.
I'm not so sure that I am 100% hyped for this, only because the first one had so much hype, and then Titan fell pretty quickly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if you could find 1,000 or so players on their server at this point in time, can you?
Yeah, you can get in there and still find a match. I mean, there's still people playing this game, but it's not a big... Isn't nothing near the Call of Duty numbers or nothing like that. It doesn't have a following like that. But you're talking about being a console exclusive to a losing battle right now. I mean, you're talking, not saying that the Xbox isn't a good console, but it's not selling the numbers that a PlayStation has. So they limited themselves to just so many people, and it's like a new system. So, you know, like you're talking. Well, I guess it did come out on 360 though too. So, but it was a lesser version of the game.
Right. Right.
So you limit the number of people that can access that game by making it, you know, an exclusive to a certain system. So I think it's a good thing to have it on both systems for the next one. But then some people are going to be like, well, I didn't get to play the first one. Why should I play the second one? So hopefully somehow they do either a bundle with Titanfall 1 and 2 in the next one and make it, you know, the base price or whatnot.
Let me ask you something. Do you think, knowing that a lot of the COD players that pick up a new COD game ignore the campaign. Do you believe that the lack of a campaign at all hurt Titanfall?
No, not really. I mean, did have a campaign. It was just online campaign, and it progressed no matter if you won the match or lost the match. So it was kind of weird how it happened. So, yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty much Titanfall. From what I remember, like I said, I played it, beat the campaign, which I said it progressed no matter what. And I think there was maybe 9 missions, so it was short. And then I did a few of the multiplayer maps. I maybe had 40 hours in the multiplayer. And okay. Now that I got the free DLC, I'll probably go back into it and check out the DLC. But like I said, the controls are good. The gameplay's good. It's just I wanted campaign. I'm one of the few players that actually play through the Call of Duty campaign. So
me too. But that'd be you and me right next to each other, brother.
Like always.
On the other side of, I guess you want to say, companies or platform or however the hell you want to look at it, Nintendo, being weird again, they decided to move on to mobile gaming. They're doing games for iPhone or smartphones in general, I guess. Next to that, they're actually working on a new system that's going to have a more strengthened hardware, and it's going to be capable of having a fully integrated online membership alongside with the 3DS, the Wii U, and the smartphones and PC devices that they're going to release some of these mobile games for. I guess the code name for it is called NX.
Nice.
So if you guys see anything with Nintendo NX in the title, that's probably what you're going to be looking on.
My old Nintendo fanboy might start coming out, you know, seeing Nintendo step up their game a little bit.
You know, I actually downloaded, thanks to my dear friend Uncle Tony here, who gave my oldest a Nintendo Shop game card. We used it for the online console to buy Contra 3, The Alien Wars, and the original Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, nice.
And playing those again just like made me re-love everything I loved about those games back when they originally came out. So it's kind of nice to still be able to feel that kind of appreciation for a game that's been out over 2 decades now almost. And it was just kind of cool to see my kids get into it because it didn't matter the graphics. It didn't matter that it was 8-bit or whatever. You know, I think those are actually both Super Nintendo games, so they were like 16-bit.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. They still thought they were awesome looking. They still thought they were pretty fun. And I just kind of... I feel like sometimes I wish systems like Nintendo or even PlayStation would go back to an older formula, but with updated graphics.
Yeah. You know?
Kind of on that same token, actually, wanted to talk a little bit about the Modern Warfare 2 remaster petition. There's a petition going on right now for Modern Warfare 2 to get a remaster. There's been a lot of complaints that the current server for the online, which this game is so good that there are still hundreds of thousands of people playing Modern Warfare 2, and that was released
probably
in
2009. More than people playing Titanfall.
Exactly. But it's been so oversaturated with hackers and cheaters modders of every kind and, stuff, and modders and everything that the company has received a petition with over 100,000 signatures to remaster it. Their original goal was 90,000. And so I can't even remember what the number was the last time I looked at it. I want to say it was like 130,000 signatures that they had. But either way, they blew past their original goal. And I think now they're only just a few thousand shy of 200,000 signatures. So hopefully, if petitions mean anything, hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, or just whoever the hell is listening to this, we will be getting a Modern Warfare 2 remaster. And hopefully that happens within the next year or two, because the last couple of CODs have been garbage. That's just my opinion. I can't say it's just my opinion because I know plenty of other gamers that feel the same way. But, man, I would love a Modern Warfare 2 remaster.
What about you, Tom? I'd love to play on Terminal, man. I love that map.
Oh, God. Terminal and even just reliving
Shipyard,
the campaign.
I think that was on there. There's so many good maps on that one.
Even reliving the campaign on next-gen console, on the current, you know, the PS4 or the Xbox One, playing No Russian over again and on a PS4, oh my god, that would just be, that would just, I would probably call off a work a day for that shit.
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying, man, like, if you guys want to get involved with this, it's on, you go to change.org, and that's where you can sign the petition to,
I don't really feel like we're making a change with that, but
I really don't. The name of the website to me is kind of ludicrous, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, Ramiz Zahira, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that, he's the one that started all this. He's from Australia. So, g'day to you, bloke. That's horrible. My impressions are horrible sometimes.
That's all right. But, we're just throwing them out there.
Right now, it's at 165,301 supporters for this. And they only need 34,699 to get to 20,000 or 200,000. So it's obviously caught the attention of a good amount of people. Yeah, dear God, they just need this to happen. They need for this to happen. That's all I got to say. One more thing that I want to kind of touch base on, and I know it's not game related, but it's one of my favorite creations of all time. And I'm speaking of
sliced bread.
I mean, you could read books while eating sliced bread, I guess, or play the Deadpool game or watch the Deadpool movie. Whatever you're doing to get your Deadpool fix is fine by me because I'm a huge fan. But I just wanted to touch base with everybody on the movie status real quick. I was kind of skeptical about this. I didn't know how well it was going to do. I was kind of worried that Ryan Reynolds was portraying Deadpool again because I know it wasn't his fault that they foobarred the character so badly in Wolverine Origin. And I know it also wasn't Ryan's fault that the Green Lantern movie was a horrible flop. But the fact that he started both of those kind of made me a little anxious to see how this movie is going to turn out. But he just posted an update saying that after reading the script and doing a little bit of the filming and what have you, he says he's incredibly happy about it. And that they have a director that understands the Deadpool world and the things that he is and the things that he's about. And that the writers have a slavish devotion to the canon of that character. And anytime you have a slavish devotion to anything, that means you are busting your ass to make sure that this comes out as perfect as it possibly can. It says that having that slavish devotion is the most important aspect, he said. And this is coming from Ryan. And I'm not quoting verbatim because the way this has been quoted is kind of awkward, so I'm trying to make it more sensible. But it's been made in a way that the most crucial of fanboys could embrace it. And he's like, that's the hope anyway. So it also says that Ryan previously suggested that the film will have an R rating. I would love for that to happen. I would love for there to be an actual Deadpool movie with an R rating because then you could have it as close to the character as
then you can write it the way it should be wrote, you know?
Right, exactly. However, I know that this is a Marvel / Disney creation, so it's going to have a hard time, I feel like. You know, I was perfectly fine and under the umbrella of acceptance that this was going to be a PG-13 movie just because, you know, Avengers and what have you and all that's been PG. And they've done a great job with all that. And they even made Wolverine seem badass with a PG-13, even though he was Fox or whatever. But the fact was I was perfectly okay with it being a PG-13 because I expected, you know, that's the way of the sales was going to go. But for Ryan Reynolds to suggest that they're actually going to consider making it an R, that's the fanboy dream right there, you know? And I feel like there's plenty of Deadpool fans out there and plenty of adults out there who could enjoy a R-rated Deadpool movie and still make it successful. Because the first Expendables movie was R, and that blew up to the point where it spawned two more movies. And Stallone didn't even think they were going to make two more. You know, he ended the first Expendable movie thinking, okay, we're just going to do this one. It's going to be a thing, whatever. But then it got huge. And because of that R rating that it had, it actually did great. So I'm hoping this kind of goes the same way. Whether or not this means that they're going to include Deadpool in the future Marvel endeavors, like, I would love to see Deadpool interact with Tony Stark, Iron Man, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr. I would love to see that. I would love to see Wade interact with Tony on that level from those two actors, first of all, because Ryan Reynolds and Robert Downey Jr. are a couple of hilarious and really awesome people. And that'd be awesome for me, especially as a fanboy of not even Marvel but Deadpool himself, to see those two get together. Now that Spider-Man has just joined the fray of the Marvel movie plan, which now we know it's not necessarily set in stone because they had a plan projected all the way to like 2020, and they just included Spidey into that plan. So I'm hoping against hope that they can do that with Deadpool, but that's just me. I know I'm an overcrazed fan probably. I actually just picked up two more Deadpool books for my birthday. Can't wait to read them. I'm actually going to read them at work so I have something to do on my job. But that's
I'm just kidding, Bills. Boss, if you're listening.
Yeah, it's just kidding, Bills. But yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I'm actually a lot more excited for this movie now than what I was. And I knew that Ryan was a fan of Deadpool, and he even kind of seemed a little bit disgraced in himself in some previous interviews that he had about the Wolverine origin movie. But he's a professional, and he's a really nice guy from what I understand from people that I've talked to that I've met him in real life. And as such, he would probably never talk down about a project that he had worked on or whatever, even though you could kind of tell in the tone of his voice and the statements that he made, like, it's not the Deadpool that he imagined back then. But I'm a little bit more hopeful now. So I've been yapping on about Deadpool for the past, 10 so minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and cut it off on that topic.
Speaking of cutting it off, man, there's a really funny article that I happened to browse across on IGN.
Oh yes. Let me see. This just in. What's the name of the company?
Undead Labs.
Undead Labs has had a giant penile reduction. Take it away, Tony.
All right. Let me just go into... I'm just going to read it the best I can without laughing here. So, when Undead Labs began revamping its 2013 zombie survival game with the upcoming State of Decay Year 1 edition, the developer found a surprise in the game's higher 1080p resolution textures that was concealed in the lower resolution version. Undead Labs outsourced the creation of some of its textures and assets to contractors to assist with the original game's development. The indie developer only discovered recently with the enhanced resolution and textures quality that the hired artist had designed penises into the game's textures. Some of our contractors worked a ridiculous amount of genitalia into the background. Undead Labs senior designer Jeffrey Card told XBLA fans during PAX East. It said the organs initially went unnoticed in the original release and got through testing because the game's lower resolution textures kept them concealed. Undead began removing the phalluses from the game after the discovery and are no longer in any available versions of the game. Undead Labs was not aware of the textures in question until they began the process of exporting textures for State of Decay Year 1 Survival Edition. And they are not visible in the original edition of State of Decay. That's a dick move.
That is
pun intended.
That is a huge dick move. Yeah, so what else was... There was another... I know in Fight Club, they had made reference to when...
They clip it into the film.
Yeah, they clipped penises from porn scenes into some of the kids' movies and stuff. That kind of reminds me of that because you had this game that when it was originally released, the whole time it had hidden dicks in it. Yeah. And now that they've bumped up the graphics and everything else, they can actually see from the original coding
that's funny.
All the character or the zombies or whatever. I don't even know because that was like what, a PC game?
No, it's a Xbox and PC game. I beat that game, and I've never even noticed it, so that's kind of funny.
Right. Might have to take a magnifying lens next time you...
It reminds me of Tosh.0 when he's talking about the Little Mermaid. He's like, you tried drawing a Little Mermaid for years and not put a dick on the box somewhere.
I know. But now, are they remaking State of Decay for other consoles and stuff now, or what's going on?
Yeah, they're remaking it for Xbox One.
Oh, wah-wah.
Wah-wah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess the Xbox One people can enjoy the high-res penises or...
No, they're not going to be in the game anymore, so now...
Yeah, they're set to taking them out, but, I mean, they still probably enjoy high-res penises.
Right, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
I'm getting it though, man, because it comes with all the DLC and stuff. So, and if you previously had it on Xbox 360, you get a discount on the newer version with all the DLC. So, and I didn't buy the DLC, but I'll still get the discount. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm actually a little jealous because that actually looks like a really good game, and I hate the fact that it's only for Microsoft. But I mean, I kind of felt the same way about what was that Left 4 Dead?
Yeah.
And, because that looked a lot of fun too, but I mean, I got over it. It's no big deal. I got Dying Light now, so it's cool.
Right, right. And then, that game was a lot of fun too because it has permadeath. So, you mean your characters, you get multiple characters you play as and you level them up, and then, say, you mess up and you go in the wrong house and there's too many zombies and they kill you, that character's gone forever.
You're talking about in that State of Decay?
Yeah.
Now, isn't H1Z1 supposed to kind of be the same thing?
I don't know anything about H1Z1 besides being, I think that one's like an MMO, or what do they call it, MMO game style.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I really know about H1Z1.
That's kind of what I am looking forward to, though, is the H1Z1, because it's supposed to be free for the PS4.
Oh, right on.
So,
It'll probably have some sort of, it's probably, get it for free, but then have microtransactions and whatnot.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to end up being. But either way, man, having the whole game in its entirety for free, when people have already been playing it for a while, but I mean, having it on the console now is just going to be pretty sick.
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. I think that's all I got for news, man. You got anything you want to add?
Other than the fact that I just came across an article from Movie Pilot that Guardians of the Galaxy now has a porn version of itself coming out. No, I don't.
It's all right, man.
Seeing the porn version of Groot, I can't unsee it.
I'm sorry you scarred yourself, bro.
I really just did.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up then. Thanks for listening to us ramble on for about an hour now and all that good stuff. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Tony the Gamer Guy. Dave's at Deadpool Orta. Check us out on YouTube. I'm there at Tony the Gamer Guy. Dave's at Goku Orta 5. If you want to follow us on the PlayStation Network, I'm at Big Ton 5. Dave, you're at
Goku Orta 5, capital G, capital O. But yeah, guys, thank you for wasting your time with us again. And we look forward to any kind of feedback you guys have, whether or not you want us to, you know, go over a particular topic or something. We actually, this next episode that we're going to do for March is going to be our theme episode, because we've been really, like I said, super busy just coming up with things. But once again, it is going to be medieval. We're going to get medieval on your ass. And if you have any other suggestions other than, you know, topic or whatever, let us know for April what you would like us to go over. And yeah, we'll go from there. So again, thank you guys. And yeah, I'm out this piece.
Yes, sir.